So I kind of started to gather that it was just really a big game, and it was a very artificial construct that we were all in this Western world, assuming was absolutely true, when actually it wasn't. It was just like, it was just a construct, basically. And this started to open my eyes to the fact that maybe it wasn't the people who had the problem or the issue. Maybe it was the environment they were in, the way they were being treated. And then when I decided that it must be the energy, it must be the most fundamental thing is your energy. And from that, everything is created. That's why I called it the energy dynamic model.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I wanted to change this around a little bit and bring some light into the show. We've been dealing with so much darkness, and I wanted to get onto the light side. And I ran into Jennifer Foster, who has come up with a whole new construct on how to understand the mind using cutting-edge science, along with the understanding of psychology, to reconstruct a model of how our mind works with energy and how we're fed energy, light and dark energy, and how that light and dark energy manifests itself through our actions and how we affect other people, and how that ultimately affects us, and how we can stay in the light side. You can hear all the dark you want, and you can, well, you don't want all you want. You can hear all the darkness and still be in that light side, and you can project the light energy onto others. What does that mean? How does that work? She works with the extreme cases because people come to her that aren't, you know, the people who are just have little issues and stuff, they muddle through with counselors and things. But people who are in the extreme, whether it's people addicted to heroin and drug addicts, or whether it's business owners and multimillionaires who are really struggling and a basic counselor just doesn't cut it for them, she has been able to help all these people get through this. And then we also dive into some of the really bad stuff that's going on with ritual child abuse, satanic abuse. How are they getting their energy, and why does that work, and why are they? And also, when people are cut off, leaders are cut off. She calls it cutting off from your feelings and just living your mind through trauma, and how the elites train their children to be like that so they can be leaders and make decisions without affecting their feelings. And they're just kind of like robots, and they think it gives them an edge, but ultimately it just is unfulfilling and it's dark energy. And she explains that. Very interesting conversation. It's filled me up with some good energy, which is what I needed. But before we get into the interview with Jennifer Foster, I want to make a big shout out to my patrons. Thank you so much for supporting the program. Can't tell you how much I appreciate it. You know that YouTube really doesn't pay that much. You hear that a lot from other people. And it's, you know, I have a sponsor now, which I'm really happy about. Look into the water. It's hydrogen rich, pH balanced. Hydrogen rich water actually boosts the effects of C60. So if you're a C60 user, look into this water, and I have the link right up here now. Awesome. But let's get back in. I want to give a specific shout out to Emmanuel Hammond. Thank you so much for supporting the program as a patron, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. So let's get now into the interview with Jennifer Foster. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Sarah. Thank you for having me here.
I really wanted to do a lighter topic, not that it's not more in depth what you do, but I've been doing such dark stuff that I want to get to the light side on this show. And I'm excited to talk to you about something that's so good for humanity, and it's understanding the brain. You've been working on trying to figure out how the brain really works, utilizing new techniques and the new technology and cutting-edge science that we're learning. So can you tell us what made you look into this area and why it's of interest to you?
I'd love to. It all started when I was very young. From about the age of four, I felt things were slightly out of kilter with how I was experiencing life and what I was told. But later on in life, I kind of just carried on really. Later on in life, I decided to study economics. And when I was 18, I went to a polytechnic and realised that the study of economics really explained a lot of what I intuitively felt. So I kind of started to gather that it was just really a big game, and it was a very artificial construct that we were all in this Western world assuming was absolutely true, when actually it wasn't. It was just like, it was just a construct, basically. Then I started to work with people who are long-term unemployed in London, and what I found there was people would arrive first thing on a Monday morning, and there was always 20 of them, and they were always very angry. They didn't have work, they couldn't read or write very well, a lot of them, and all that sort of thing. But by the time they finished the course, by the end of the week, they all were fine. And this started to open my eyes to the fact that maybe it wasn't the people who had the problem or the issue. Maybe it was the environment they were in, the way they were being treated, and so on and so forth. Because I thought, how can someone be okay in 5 days when, if you look at their piece of paper and what's written down about them, they were all suffering from issues or trouble. Then from that job, I started to work in mental health. I found the same thing. I found people who were there with issues actually became a lot better just by changing their environment and getting them to understand who they were and basically caring and valuing and loving them, quite frankly. So by this time, I was starting to see a pattern, and I started to write it down. And I used to do it. I do it in stick men, and in the books I write, a lot of it is stick diagrams to show how people are receiving or creating a certain sort of energy. Then later on, I started to do business coaching. And when I was working with people who were running businesses, I found out a lot more about the mind, because with the people with mental health problems and learning difficulties, they were very, very good at telling you and showing you how they felt and who they were. With the people who are running businesses, they were very, very in their mind, and they started to tell me about their mind. And I found this even more fascinating. So I started to add a lot more detail to that. Then I started to do work with more spiritual people. I did a lot of work with an acupuncturist and a Reiki master. And I started to see how the spirit fitted into this model I was developing, simply by observing and working with people, to be honest. None of it was in a textbook, and by the time I was about 20, I actually stopped reading textbooks, and I started just to gather up the information I was observing from people who were around me. So by the time I hit my 30s, I had actually worked out the model, and I still wasn't sure what was happening. I still wasn't sure what it was, and I finally realized eventually that what it was where people were getting their energy from. That was creating their experience of life. And the people who were getting it primarily from their mind tended to process life, whereas the people who tended to get it from what they felt and who they were tended to experience life. And I can talk a lot about that later on. So this really was why I was doing it, was because to me it was right in front of my eyes, working with people who tended to sort of end up with me because all the other work they'd done hadn't been effective. So I would be getting the sort of the more extreme types of people, the millionaires and the heroin addicts, you know. The ones in the middle tended to sort of cope with the therapist, you know, whereas the two extremes, because that hadn't done anything, were with me, and they all felt better. And a lot of it, I think, is just having a knowledge of how you work, really. And then when I decided that it must be the energy, it must be the most fundamental thing is your energy. And from that, everything is created. That's why I called it the energy dynamic model.
Well, one thing that in business, because I teach at Cross in Business, one thing that we teach is you need to find your personal fit, right? Because that's where you get your, we say it, your energy, whether you're introvert or extrovert. But you're taking this to a whole another level of understanding what that process really means. Because we teach that, but we don't really get it. You know, we know that you feel better this way and people perform better, But what does that mean and why is that happening? And you've had a lot of success, like what you're talking about now, but can you talk a little bit more, explain what's really going on with your brain, your energy, and why it works like that?
Well, I can tell you, first of all, the basic idea, okay? I'll tell you the basic idea. If you imagine a house, yeah? If you're in what I call your feel, which some people call gut intuition, that's where who you are lives. That's how you were born, as a unique person. That's your unique talent, that sort of thing, yeah? Your preferences, I might like mushrooms, you might like tomatoes, yeah? That's where that lives. And if you're on the ground floor of that house, you're actually doing, being, creating, and gaining first-hand knowledge. And that, I call, gives you a feel energy. It's not something you think about, it's something that you are. And if that's a plus feel, it makes you feel content. And if it's a sad feel, it makes you feel grief. And they're the only two feels you can have, peace or grief. And I describe peace as like sparkling water and grief as like dark water, like Coca-Cola or something. And if you operate in the feeler dynamic, that's what you're doing, okay? That's the ground floor of the house. Now, because of lots of reasons, partly if someone has what I call low-grade trauma or is cut off from who they are, what happens is they get booted up into living in the first floor of the house. And this is where your mind is. So really, you're one step above actually experiencing something. You're observing it. You're in the same time-space continuum, which we can talk about again if you like. We're in the space type with the same one, but we're observing it from a more processing and, dare I say, rational point of view. And modern society has trained us really with the education system, the work system and all that other stuff to be very mind orientated. And it's more about.
Is that how you can separate yourself from doing something that is just awful? Is that the whole point? Like trauma, you're saying the more trauma, the more you're in your mind versus in your experiencing. And has that helped you understand how, you know, this whole, you know, how they put a lot of people through trauma so that they can lead things that are awful? And is that how they're able to lead it? Because they're in their mind versus experiencing it. They're not experiencing it.
Yes. Yes, basically. What happens is there's two types of trauma. One is the big trauma, yeah? Big, terrible trauma, which you carry in you, in your, I call it like in the stomach, it's actually in your stomach area, like a bowl of water. And if that's a big trauma, it will be quite dark and you'll feel grief, okay? Now, if you carry that with you for a long time, it will go from sad to bad, which again, we can talk about later on, okay? But let's assume if we just feel sad. What your brain will do, because your brain wants you to survive, and I say, imagine you need 10 units of energy a day, yeah? Because we live in this time and space 3D planet, we need to get through each moment. So we need energy each moment to keep up with time, yeah? If we're in spirit, which is in a minute, we don't need that because there's no time and no space. But if we're on this 3D planet of time and space, we need to keep going every second with some energy. Every second, we just have to. So if we're having a big trauma, or if because of what I call low-grade trauma, which is very, very common, in a sense of you can't be who you are, you've had to shut off from who you are because of your job or because of your family or whatever reason, that's like low-grade trauma. And people don't really notice that because it's quite small every day. And in the end, your brain gets used to that, so you don't even notice it, which is why people stay in situations that are actually quite bad for them for quite a long time because they get used to it. And what your brain does is say, well, hold on a minute. I'm not getting much energy from this. So we're going to go into the mind. The mind will take over because basically you are doing a bad job at getting energy. Your mind takes over and your mind starts gathering up a different sort of vibrational energy. And I call this mind energy. And it's a different vibration. There's the mind energy here And then there's the feel energy, which is lower, which is there. There's also spirit energy, which I'll talk about in a minute, okay? So if you start to live in your mind, you start to think, okay, let's achieve a goal, let's achieve a success, let's get this, let's get a nice car, let's have a nice house, blah-de-blah, let's fit into society, let's fit into the status quo. And then I get lots of what I call ticks, yeah? And ticks is like a fire, like a little light, like a bang, bang, bang. And basically, it's emotion. It's emotion. It's also where anxiety and anger live in, which is why a lot of people say you can turn negative emotion into positive emotion, because it's the same thing. Now, to a degree, that's true. So if you're in your mind gathering up mind energy, because you're only getting, say, 3 units from your feel, you need 7 from your mind. So people are constantly having to get more and more and more, achieve this, achieve that, to literally keep going. But because this is so normalized, it's seen as okay. And there's nothing wrong with it, except for the fact that mind energy is very short-lived, it's relative, it's intense, in the sense that you miss all your feels, because your feel is a different vibration, and like a radio station, you can't do both at once. So people avoid trauma by going in their mind and collecting ticks. You can cure trauma in another way, but being in your mind doesn't get rid of it. It just cuts you off from it. And that's another reason why often people can be seen as, like the psychopath, for example, is all mind energy.
No feeling.
Yeah.
Could anybody get energy from bad stuff?
Yes. Shall I just finish off the spirit bit and then
back? Go ahead. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. So we're on the first floor of the house, okay, having our mind ticks, and we're like looking out the window, and we can see our children play, and that's lovely. We can see things, but we can't actually hug our child. That's the difference, okay? So what then happens with spirit energy is, this is like going on the roof of your house, right? So you're on the roof, and you're even more further away from experience and from process. You're now observing it via a kind of normally a religious type of filter. Okay. Now, the interesting thing about spiritual energy is it's exactly the same sort of energy as your feel energy, but it's of a different nature, because it's not in this space and time. We have to go up to access it. So, for example, I might do some yoga and you kind of go up, or I meditate and you go up and you literally shut off yourself from your surroundings. You shut your mind off and you lie down or whatever, and you go up. OK, now, one of the issues with this is that although it's good to cope because you gather up a few more energies, which is great, it doesn't actually change your actual experience on the ground floor. You just sort of nip up. So a lot of what I train to do is to say, let's look at the spirit, as in, if we believe the spirit, you are created by a spirit to be who you are, and you're a unique, special, beautiful person. Instead of nipping up to the spirit, how about bringing that spirit down into who you are, realizing that that spirit has made you this special creative being that you are, and bring that spirit ideology and energy down. And once you can bring it down and you actually live it, you actually live love, and you live who you are, and you live love, that spiritual energy kind of loops around, and you literally, and this is what I think, Sarah, is alchemy. This is what I think is alchemy, the human energetic alchemy, is that you bring that spirit down into this 3D planet, and then you start to create. Because say I've been made to say I love flowers, and I've been made to produce flowers. If I can bring that down into my day-to-day life, and I spend all my time creating flowers, you get an incredible sense of peace and contentment. And you've gained it from loving and nurturing in this 3D space and time planet, rather than going up and meditating or looking at your goals and achievements and not actually kind of living in the space where you can create.
Some people say that's being in the kingdom of God.
It could be described as that. I mean, I don't know, to be honest, but if it, that's sort of how I've put the spirit into it, because that became quite important as I work with people, you know, who are acupuncturists and Reiki masters. I mean, I didn't want to leave anything out, to be honest. And it's basically the same sort of energy. So as far as this model is concerned, there's two sorts of energy, feel and mind, but there's three ways of gathering it. Spirit on the roof, mind, which is mind, is always mind, and feel. And if you can loop back the spirit into who you are and actually live that life, not just do it every now and then when we fancy having a meditation, if you see what I mean, but actually live that, that's when you access your creativity. And that's when a human being becomes very, very human and very powerful and very light.
Okay, now, can you get energy from doing dark activities?
Yes, great. Thank you, Sarah. Yes. So if
scary?
We imagine that's our... That's,
huh? I said that's kind of scary, but go ahead. Yeah. I'd like to think everybody gets energy from light activities that are good for you, for good for others, good for, you know, but go ahead.
Well, I'd tell you what happens. I did a lot of work with abuse and all this as well, obviously with mental health and everything. And what happens is, again, remembering our sort of imaginary construct here of spirit, mind, feel, everyone's got a different who they are, and everyone has a different energy dynamic, okay? Now, if someone can't get any mind energy because they're not very successful and they cannot access spirit because they don't want to, but they feel quite bad, they need to get their energy from somewhere. Okay, they need to get it from somewhere. So they kind of go from their stomach area here, and they go here and here. And I've got a diagram I can show you if you want on that. So they start to go away from them. Okay, they start to go that way. What this one here is what I call an escape world. And that's things like drinking, drugs, all that sort of thing. And this one here, I call other people's feel. Yeah. So what a person will do if they have low feels, not much mind energy and no spirit, they will go and find energy from here, these places. And the other people's feel is the dark stuff. Because if I am around another person and that person has a feel, yeah, I need that to get my feel. I will pinch that, their good feels, and I will have them. I will take that, so they're here, and I will take that and I will feed myself with their good feel energy.
Is that what they're doing when they're hurting children and things? They're getting
Yes. Their
energy?
Yes, they're taking those children's beautiful, beautiful light and feel, and they are feeding themselves with it.
I've heard now, that when they get that energy, it's almost like a rush, like they're, oh.
Yeah.
And that's
it
what you've heard,
an injection of feels. Yeah, absolutely. Now, the person who that's been done to, obviously, experiences as a huge dark feel. Yeah?
Because they're losing their energy.
Yes. So you lose your light because they have taken it. And you experience a dark because they are hurting you. And one of the things you need to feel light is to be loved and cared for. So if you're not being loved and cared for, you will get a dark. So they will get a big plus and you will get a big minus.
Well, then how do you recover from that? Are you ready to move on to that? I don't know if you want to say more.
It's up to you. I'll tell you one other way people do negative things if you want, which, yeah. So that's basically abuse, basically. The escape world, the drugs, alcohol and everything, partly cuts you off from feeling like that. And because a drug like drinking, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. Remember I said that we're in this, when we're not doing that, we're in this time, space, reality like that. what the drug does is take you out of that, so you're in an alternative reality, okay? And in your alternative reality, you'll be full of fun, you'll have friends, you'll be a bit stoned, you'll be a bit drunk, you know? And in that alternative reality, you will find energy.
And is that energy, it's energy, but it's not productive energy. It's like, where do you get that energy from?
You get it because you've gone into a different dimension, basically, from your own experience, your own straight experience of life. You've gone into another experience of reality.
Is it short-lived energy only while you're there?
Yes, because you're in your actual body, you're building up sad feels because you're being abusive to your body, yeah? So they'll have a plus feel when they go out. Then when they come back or they come off their drug, they then feel bad, which is why they have to do it again. And that's addiction.
So that's where addiction. So you can be addicted to drugs. You can be addicted to partying and going out. You can be addicted to all these external things. And that's why I don't understand why people need to go out so much, because I'm so satisfied with what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you feel good about what you're doing. You don't need to do that. One thing that struck me, I've done a lot of work with people on drugs and all that, is that they actually do it because they like it. They do it because they like it. And the reason that they like it is because they're gathering up good feels from it, okay? And then when they come back to themselves, they are probably carrying trauma anyway, but then they're having more trauma because, goodness me, what did I do the night before type thing, you know? And you've got a hangover or whatever. So that's why it becomes a very difficult cycle to break from, because by collecting an alternative good feel, you're gathering up more minus ones. So that's the escape world, okay? So they don't get their energy from another person. They get their energy by going into another reality, okay? And the other way people are negative, which isn't so hugely destructive, is through the mind. Now, if I need, say, five mind ticks a day, and I'm looking for you to give them to me, because remember, it's all relative. Mind energy is all relative, and it's all about approval and success and everything, okay? If I want your approval to give me a tick and you don't give me one, I will be quite cross with you. Yeah?
That's why you shoot the messenger, even if the messenger is saying something that's really helpful for you.
Absolutely, because I want my tick, Sarah. And you're not giving it to me, and I need it. I need it to think I'm okay. So people then create a drama. So people living in their mind are often creating a drama if they don't get their ticks. So if, for example, one of my ticks is, you know, I've got to be, you know, to work in the morning and everything, but I'm stuck in a traffic jam, I start to fret because I'm not going to get my tick. I'm not going to get approval, you know, and I'm going to get angry because my tick has gone away. So if someone pulls up next to me in their car and says something to me, I'm going to be annoyed at them because my tick has been taken away and I need that energy to get to work.
This is really interesting. It all makes sense to me.
Yeah.
This makes it fits in very well with everything that I experience and what's taught in business and everything else. So now you're stuck in this cycle of being in a destructive, you're not down here and you're feeling where you're so fulfilled, but you're stuck in a cycle of drugs, or you're stuck in a cycle of going out and doing things that aren't necessarily here where you're, you know, in your gut, where it's so much more constructive for you. How do you get out of that cycle when you first start doing this, you don't get that high? I don't know if it's a high, you know, I guess it is kind of a high. Well, you get an energy high being in your zone. I call it being in your zone, but.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Well, there's two stages to it, really. The first thing I find with people is, the first thing is for them to understand this. Understanding this is hugely liberating, because people stop thinking of themselves as having an issue or having something wrong with them or whatever. And it actually gives them a way to understand exactly what's happening. So it could be like, oh, the reason you're irritating me is because you're not giving me love when I'm showing you who I am, or the reason that I'm, or whatever. It's very empowering to see it, because it's quite simple. There's no psychology or psychiatry or anything, you know, in this at all. No science either. It's just stick men. And I will dig it out in a minute, me books, but with my stick men. So the first thing I find is just knowing this about, if 0 to 10 is the process, knowing about it takes you from 0 to 5, okay? Just knowing and understanding this. Then the next step is to actually apply it. And what we do, Sarah, is we reverse it, okay? We reverse it. We don't say, oh, we're not going to have any more tics. We don't say that. What we do say is, and this is so in line, I think, with the work you do, is to say, well, forget about all that. Let's look at who I am. Let's look at that. Let's look, and I've got a whole model of actually, I've actually got like a worksheet people can actually sit down and work out who they are, what they need to feel nurtured, and what I call their power needs. Now, power needs is a little bit like Maslow, but it's just updated to the modern day society. And it's what I've noticed people need to feel good. It's got nothing to do with the mind. It's just to feel good, okay? And it's things like meaning, purpose, sense of belonging, and all that sort of thing, okay? So they marry up who they are and their environment, as in their family and things like that. They marry that up with their power needs, and they start to acknowledge the fact that if they can create an environment where that has been shown and you can actually display it, what will happen is almost as if by magic, if they then position themselves, which is real business coaching language, it's exactly about like business. This is, I used to do the business coaching. It's exactly the same for an individual, is that if you then position yourself where people actually want that sort of person in their life, yeah, whatever you're good at or not, they actually want that in their life, they will then give you approval. So you then get what I call a frilly, right?
What is that, where you get extra energy? You're not only satisfied, but you're getting this extra energy stuff too.
It's a tick based on a feel, okay? Because if you're just getting a tick, if I really like tomatoes, but I go around to your house and you make me mushrooms, okay? Yeah? In order to get your approval, I'll have to cut off from who I am and say, Sarah, I love mushrooms, to get a tick. So I've scored a tick, which is great, but I've created a minus feel, yeah?
That makes sense. Now, yeah. And that's what a lot of people do, right?
They do it all the time. They do it all the time. But what the trick is to think, well, actually, if I actually say, oh, Sarah, by the way, I like tomatoes, I own who I am, and I show who I am, and I express that in a kind and humble way, yeah? When I go around to your house and you make me a meal with tomatoes, not only do I feel good because you're valuing me and you've made me a meal, but I can also tell you, this is great, Sarah, because I love tomatoes. So that gives you and me a frilly, yeah? Because it's on our terms.
Okay, so now what do we do in the Western society that we have where we're shoving kids through school systems that are not in their environment? They're forced to be in their mind.
We
are forcing, I mean, we have so much that we're forced to do, especially kids, right? Once you get out of school, you have more freedom to kind of explore this. But what do we do with kids? They're forced into that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think it's got a lot worse in the last, 5 years, probably in the UK, definitely, possibly 10 years. I've actually taken my third child out of school because you're quite right. And what it's doing is basically, Sarah, is as I'm sure you can see, is it's causing low grade trauma for a start, because the child can't go into school and be who they are. So that's low grade trauma. That's not emotional abuse or physical abuse. Yeah, but it's low grade trauma. So every day they're going there feeling bad because they can't create or be who they are. So that's point number one. What happens then is your brain gets used to that. That becomes your brain's normal. Yeah. So your potential to feel gets small. It gets small because your brain, again, as I said, thinks, well, this is what life is like. So this is how I'm going to set myself now. And I'm going to have a very small capacity to feel. because I don't feel much, because I'm just feeling quite bad all the time, and I don't like that. So their feels go small. They're then booted into their mind to achieve, and we all know what the school system is like about that. So if we do achieve, that's great, but the school will want more and more out of you. They'll want more and more ticks. They'll want more and more success, and the clever ones, they'll push and push and push and push, and that's all that causes stress, because trying to constantly get a tick is stress, basically. So what happens to children is they either become totally dependent and addicted to tick collecting. I call it tick collecting, yeah, because they don't know how to access their feel. And I'll tell you something else that makes this 10 times worse is technology, which we can talk about in a minute from an energetic point of view. So they become tick collecting addicts, yeah, from 4 years old. And that will breed, really, because the people have no feels, really, sort of uncompassionate people, where it's all about approval and fitting in, and they are terrified to not.
So that it helps explain why we are a narcissistic,
yes,
self-absorbed,
yes,
society that is also, yes, very high stressed and full of anxiety.
Yes. Yes. Huh. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
How does technology put that on superdrive?
Well, if you imagine that the feel is water, I say feeling is like water. You carry it with you all the time. It's very deep, but it's quite quiet. You don't really notice it. It's like water. It's water. Mind energy is like fire, which is quick, sharp, bang, bang, bang. Okay. And it can be overpowered by water, yeah, but it's not noticeable. So given both experiences, people will notice the tick, yeah, they'll notice that, they'll notice a fire, not the water, yeah. Now what technology does on an energetic level, because it's not a person, because I can give you a tick by saying, Sarah, you look great, yeah, tick, that is from a person. But technology isn't a person. So what I've started to realize is technology is like a solar panel on your head, you know, like a solar panel that gets the energy from the sun. So if you've got a smartphone or whatever, that's giving you a constant kind of warm, fuzzy, lovely on your mind, because you've got it in your hand and it's communicating with you. And you're having experiences from it, like playing a game or getting a like on Facebook or whatever. And that's such a nice, warm, subtle thing that you carry around with you, that if you then take it off, you really notice it. So that's, again, just
well, you become addicted to that.
Yeah, it's awful. If you just put your hand on your head, you can feel, you know, and you don't really notice it. But if you take it away, and you're walking around and it's quite nice and warm, if I take that off you, you feel naked. And that's from an energetic point of view, how well, especially children, are being brought up to look at that. And it's bad on so many levels, on so many levels. One of which is that it's taking the focus yet again away from who we are, what we know, and creation and love.
Well, let me ask you, one of the things they're doing with elites is they're purposely putting them through trauma to force them into their mind to get the feelings out of there so they can make, they can lead and make decisions that can hurt a million people, and they don't have those feelings. And they can get in, they can do things without feelings, which they believe gives them an edge, because somebody who feels won't do it, and so they're therefore not a good leader. So, how do we get past it? Looking for people who can be a good leader and feel, you know, somebody who's in their element is what we're looking for, right?
Yes.
Versus somebody who's crafted to be a zombie to do bidding without having feeling is what we have in a lot of cases now, because they're building them to be like that.
I agree.
How do we reverse this process? Have you thought about that? I know it's a complex problem, but...
Well, the answer is, I've written a book, this book's called The Answer, okay? This book's called The Answer, which is what society tells us is the answer, which is what you've described. And there's so much stuff, like The Secret, for example, was all about mind and everything. And we've been totally taken away with what I call the solution. Okay, the solution is who you are. There is a solution. We do not need an answer. We are the solution. Yeah. Now what happens in all cases, Sarah? In all cases, the only thing is the person has to want to do it. That's the point. And often someone doesn't know that they don't know because they think they're okay because they're getting so many ticks. Yeah. But if they do want to know, all you have to do, you have to stop them. You have to connect them back to who they are. And the way you do that is by getting rid of their grief, by getting rid of their sad, they're like little bottles that people carry around in their stomach area. Okay. Now the way to get rid of them, and this is why as well, people can't be in the moment. You know, when people try and be in the moment and then fail and they just can't do it, it's because they're carrying too much grief. They're carrying too much grief. So you need to get rid of that grief. And the beautiful thing is, and the brain does this automatically, with my experience, it takes about 4 conscious efforts to do this, which are quite difficult, hard. They're not stressful, they're just hard, because you've really got to own who you are and your own grief, basically, which is called a healing crisis in other areas. What happens is that if you imagine sparkling water with bottles of grief in them, as that sparkling water fills up, so if I worked with you or whatever and you started to value me, you started to make me feel safe, like I did with the Restart people when I did that course in London all those years ago, you start to get plus feels. You start to get feels, sparkling water in your energy store, and your brain will think, oh, I've got lots and lots of sparkling water, so I can empty some bottles of grief. Now that's experienced as sadness, but you actually can, again, another phrase is letting go, which I don't agree with that phrase actually, because that's a kind of a thought, but it happens automatically in your brain because your brain wants you to survive and you can heal yourself. And I'm sure you've heard that before. You do heal yourself, but you have to let yourself heal yourself, and your brain will get rid of all that grief as the sparkling water starts to come in. So over time, and it takes about, well, it takes about 3 months, but probably depending on how much grief you've got and how much work you want to do, it can take, you know, a couple of years even. As your grief bottles empty, your feels start to get bigger and you become much more aware of who you are and what you know and what you need to be that sort of person, which is where the power needs comes into it.
Well, give me an example. Let's say you have a leader who is completely separated and they've been trained that way, so they've experienced a lot of trauma.
Yes, yes.
Give me an example of going through one of those experiences where you start to dump out some of that.
Well, okay. I can think of, do you want me to use a leader as an example?
Yeah, if you can. I mean, unless you... Yeah, however you can help us understand.
Okay. Well, one of the things that leaders often have, and I'm defining leaders here as sort of in money terms, to be honest, business terms, is that they're very stressed without knowing that they're stressed, because that's their norm, okay? And they only really start to often want to address this when something quite bad happens. So someone's wife might leave them, or well, it's normally something to do with the family or their health. Okay, it's not much you can do with them, Sarah, unless they actually want to do it. But unless something happens for them to realize, because they're just not aware that they're like that.
But how about the people that are doing really bad stuff? They know that they're bad. They're hiding what they're doing that's bad.
Right. Okay. Well, what they need to do is to want to start to become good.
Oh, so it still has to be, it's like hitting bottom. That's a quote they use, you know, like when you're in drugs, you got
to
hit bottom. You have to somehow become aware that you want to change. Yeah. Otherwise, you're stuck in that no man's land.
Yeah, because they don't know. They don't know. And in the second book I wrote, I think the reason that I normally see people who are having a very bad time, is because that's often the only time they actually realize that they need to change something.
So once they realize, okay, I shouldn't be abusing children to get my energy. I know this is extreme, but this is, there's a lot of dark things that we're dealing with right now. How do you take somebody like that and say, okay, I'm not going to get energy from children anymore. I'm going to get it from myself. A lot of people think it's a Luciferian deal and it's a religious cult and you're not going to be able to penetrate into that. But let's say you can, and it's a mental dis problem and they're just getting their energy from the wrong sources and they realize it. How do you start to get them out of it? I don't know if I even care about fixing them. I'm just wondering if it's even possible.
Well, there's two things you can do, and I'm going to use an example of myself here when I was in a situation where I was being attacked, if you get me, okay, to illustrate. The short answer is no. I do the basically, if you look at the law of attraction, and I a chap called Mark Passio. I don't know if you've heard of Mark Passio, but a lot of what he says is very in line with what I can see. And basically, the law of attraction is an aggregate. Okay, it's an aggregate of people's feels. It's not really about an individual. And the short answer is that if you are faced with a very dark, dark person, and it's just you in your light, you haven't got much chance because they're bigger. They've got more dark than your light. Okay. Now, bearing in mind this is an aggregate, there's two things we need to do. The first thing we need to do is to build up as much light people around us as possible, because that light as an aggregate will outbalance that dark. Okay? Yeah?
Yeah,
So
that's
a
starting to
lot of
make
it,
sense. Yep.
yeah, so a lot of it is that every single person that you make lighter helps stop on a law of attraction general point of view.
I love that. That makes sense. Keep going, because people might not be where I'm at with what you just said.
Well, if you imagine lots of dots of light and one dot of dark light, if it's just one dark light and I'm a light, this is dark and a light, I might not have a chance. I might not have a chance. But if I make someone light next to me, and that person next to them makes someone light next to them, and that person there makes someone else light next to them, and this is all done, Sarah, as you know, through love. It's all done through love. It's actually getting out there on the ground floor, in the garden, so to speak, and showing love and care. Okay? Showing care. If enough people did that, that dark would be overwhelmed by that light.
Could we be in a situation where there's too much dark and we just have to get rid of that dark so that we can get rid of the real dark and then the ones that aren't as dark, we can bring them up?
You could do, and I'll tell you my personal experience. I was kind of attacked with a quite dark person who again, I think a lot of these dark people, actually, it's not that they're not aware of what they're doing. It doesn't matter what they're doing. They don't care.
They're
They
cut
don't
off
care.
completely.
Yeah,
They
they don't
don't,
care. Yeah,
yeah.
they just don't care. So you can't really do anything because they just don't care and they just carry on. So what I had to do was I had to, and what actually was happening was I was running a business at the time, and because this involved going to court and all this sort of thing, and taking me away from what I could do because I just couldn't do it. What I did is I knew I had to get my energy up. I had to match it. The darker he was getting, the lighter I had to be. And on my little power need, little idea, is one of the ways you can get your power up, not the only way, but one of the ways you can get your power up is through physical, well, love and care and actually doing and physically like exhausting yourself so you physically feel strong, yeah? It's not the only way, but it was appropriate in my situation. So what I did was I had to shut my business down in the end, and I set up a business gardening for old ladies. So I'd go around there in the morning, and these old ladies would give me a cup of tea. I'd chat to them about the weather, and we'd have a little nice little feel session, yeah. And then I'd go out in the garden, and I would dig for 6 hours, and then I would go home, and then I could sleep because I was so tired, and then I'd got through that day, and I had been light. Now this kept me going against what this chap was doing for about 3 years, for about 3 years. And I didn't buy into any of the ticks and crosses that were being flagged. As you can imagine, in the system is designed for you to basically kill each other, basically, you know?
It's not very productive, yes.
No, it's not. So I didn't buy into that as much as I could. I didn't, because it was a legal case, I didn't even get a barrister. I defended myself, just because I didn't want to add to the energy of the mind, ticks and crosses, yeah? So I experienced it fully. The more I was experiencing it fully, I was able to then outweigh that dark I was getting by putting a light back into it through digging. Yeah. So working hard and digging and being nice to these old ladies, genuinely being nice. And what happened eventually is the whole situation got solved because I didn't budge. And I just got lighter and lighter and lighter. And he just kept going round and round in his abusive escape world, other people's feel, crosses, escape world. They go like in a triangle. They go in a triangle, yeah, like that. Whereas because I just stood still, because I stood still like that, and he was going like that, eventually that kind of ran out of steam because I wasn't giving him anything to get, because I had created a distance between us, so he couldn't grab my energy.
Do you think there's a point where you start getting energy from the universe around you that solves the problem too?
Well, this is it. This was what was interesting about that was what I found is that if you have a bad thing here, if you keep trying to solve it, bang your head against a brick wall, it just becomes we become more focused on it, quite frankly. Whereas if you can turn around from it, you know, and look somewhere else and do something else, your light energy goes up. And because it's all an aggregate, Sarah, the energy in the universe is gone up a bit just because you have. Yeah. So that would just change the general atmosphere. And when you turn around again, often the problem has got smaller because you haven't been focused on it. And I think one of the issues I've got with the mainstream idea of counselling, etc., is that what that does, I'm not saying in all cases, sometimes there is a place for it, okay, but generally speaking, if you keep focusing on that issue, you're just putting more energy into it.
I agree with that. That's something my husband says all the time.
Yeah.
Whether it's discrimination or whatever, you keep focusing on it. All you're doing is giving energy to that negative.
Absolutely.
Eventually it goes away because you just start treating each other equally and with love.
That's it. Yes. Yes. So you kind of have to turn away, be you, create care. Care is more important than love, really. And again, Mark Passio talks a lot about that. It's care. It's care, you know, and other stuff. Do that, turn around, and that brick wall that was facing you has gone down a bit.
That's why I dislike, you know, the whole left-right paradigm in our country.
Yes.
I hate that.
Yes.
And I really dislike how this election cycle, you know, when Hillary Clinton was running, how they just kept harping on discrimination and all this stuff while not really getting anything accomplished themselves, and then behind the scenes being as evil as possible. That's exactly the point. It's like, no, this whole thing is wrong. Stop focusing on that and just be good.
Yes.
Just show them that they're equal because you don't care.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, this is an interesting one because it doesn't mean that we ignore bad. It doesn't mean we ignore bad. It means we acknowledge the bad, we protect and make safe
exactly
everything we can possibly do. So we have a distance, and our children have a distance, which is one reason why I'm taking my child out of school, for example. Yeah. You do what you can.
And it's also like recognizing the darkness, like recognizing these child predators or whatever. And if they are just so dark and they don't care, you just remove them. I mean, that's what I'm thinking we have to do with the people that are like that need to be removed because we can't, they're not going to do anything but hurt us. So remove them. The ones that are victims themselves and they can be helped, then that's different. Going through the truth and reconciliation process is so important so that we know what's going on. But we have to be careful in letting that those real dark characters stay because you know, there's this, how do we balance that out? We want truth and reconciliation with the people who can be helped, and with those really dark psychopathic people, we just got to get rid of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what you said earlier is true. I think if we can know who we are, we can keep ourselves light in a kind and humble way, protect people as much as we can, like taking a child out of school or stopping them watching Disney movies or whatever, you know, look at their diet, blah, you know, all that sort of thing. Keep them as safe as they can. And then just connect with other people like you, like who are, you know, the other people who are doing this work. We together can create such a light that the dark cannot come in. But the problem is that you need a lot of people to do that. And I think that's where, you know, I think that's the real challenge. I think that's the real challenge is we need a lot of people to know about information that we both know, obviously, you know, that we know about the terrible. We need people to know about that, but we don't want them to focus on it. We just need them to withdraw as much as they can from the system, as much as they can, and create good things for themselves and for other people, and then not get brought into any drama, and just be very, very clear about who they are and what they need to be like.
And then
I know
then,
that sounds simple, but
I know it. And then project good energy everywhere.
So well, you will. Yeah, yep. You will without trying, because you are, you know, and like we're saying that you have lots of dots. If you're doing your thing, I'm doing my thing, they are, you know, you kind of almost could create a circle of safety. And that's something that's just come to me. Maybe they don't have to be removed, the dark ones. Maybe we have to create a circle where they can't come in.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's, but if there's so many, I don't know. I'm on the fence on some of that stuff. I think some of them just need to be removed because we have so many. I don't, you know, absolutely. Animals instinctively remove them from their packs. They're just constantly removing them. Anybody that's like that, they're out. So maybe they're doing what you're doing. They don't necessarily, not of all of them kill them. They just, you're out and they don't let them in.
Yes, that's what I mean. I'm just thinking how to remove them. Well, it just came to me, you know, one way of removing them is to create somewhere where they can't come in.
We need to solve this, because this is a serious issue.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. How can people get copies of your book, learn more about this? This is a really great, you've been very successful at working with many people who, the extreme cases that regular counselors can't solve. So you have something here that's really amazing. Where can people get your work?
Well, if they go to my website, I've got lots of free online courses, especially aimed at children, called A Mind Through a Child's Eyes. I've got a website that's all about that. So the address for that is www.amindthroughachildseyes.com. So there's free courses on that, which, although it is geared for children, you can use it on anyone. A lot of the information on there is from leadership work I've done, because it's all about nurturing, basically. And that's all free. If you'd like to buy a book, which would be great, it's on my main website, which is www.energydynamic.co.uk.
And do you do speaking tours and things? I mean, you're open to speak at different conferences and things?
I'd love to. I'd love to. This is only my second interview, but I really want to get out and say this. I like you. I think it's really important. I think it's so important. And I think people need to know information like you can find through other people like us. You know, we've all got good information, haven't we? We've all got good information. And I think that's really important. And what I can offer is a simple way of understanding how people work. There's so many different ways that you can talk about it. It explains stress, it explains anxiety, it explains anger. It also shows how the New Age idea really isn't a good idea at all. We need to be on this planet in a 3D world, in space and time, now, as animals and as loving beings. And just start to do stuff, you know, that's what we need to do. And that's what I can offer. And I can offer to tell people and show people how to do it in a way that they can take home and work out for themselves. I never tell anyone what to do. I just show them how to see it.
I love it because it's solutions. It's actionable items that you can do. And I love your red door behind you because you're going through the red door, the red pill. So
yeah.
I love the red door.
So, that's right.
So thank you so much. And I really appreciate you joining me today.
Yep. Well, thank you, Sarah.